Welcome to Loving People to the Cross. I'm Pastor Tom Crandall. I'm so excited that you've joined us today. I hope and pray that this word from the Lord encourages you and uplifts you in your spirit. And I hope it draws you to walk closer with Him. Remember, after the podcast, stick around for one more message from me, your host, Pastor Tom Crandall. God bless you, my friend. This morning, I want to invite you back to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. We're going to finish this portion of this series up this morning, and we're going to move into a different set of scripture next week. But we're going to be finishing up Matthew, chapter 6 this morning, verses 19 through 25. And this morning, as we get there, we're going to be focusing on 23 and 22. But before we get there, I want you to understand that as we look at this, we talked a little bit about it last week, and the Lord kind of pulled me back out of it, and that's the eye. The eye is the lamp of the body. Several expressions out of the Old Testament. I'm just going to overload you with scripture this morning, and I want you to understand that several places in the Old Testament imply that Jews thought the eye as having its own light. And one passage says, "The light of my eyes, it is also gone from me." And that's Psalms 38, 27, 10. "The light of the eyes rejoices the heart," Proverbs 15, 30. "The Lord gives light to the eyes," Proverbs 29, 13. And we continue to read, and it goes on and on and on. But one that stuck out to me was in Daniel chapter 2, verse 9. And it's when Daniel has his vision of a glorious man, and he describes him, and he says his face was unique. It was something about his face that caught me. But the appearance of lightning was in his eyes. You know, your eyes tell a story. I look out across here this morning, and I can tell you now that some of you are burdened, some of you are hurting, some of you are just broken. Some of you have so much on you that you don't know where to go. You've battled with things this week that some people would find, that's not much. That's not a big deal. That's not a big problem. But to you, it is the weight of the world on your shoulders. The eye is the lamp of the body. And as we read this, starting back, we're going to start back in verse 19 so we can refresh in the brain. Amen? And it says this, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures up on earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. The light of the body is thy eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" And when we read this, we have to understand the concept that Jesus lays out, the foundation here that he lays out as he's saying these things. He's saying, look, don't chase after all this other stuff. Don't chase after all these other things that are going to bear you down, that are going to weigh you down. Focus on the goodness. Catch this. And I wrote this down at like 2 o'clock. Focus on the goodness of God, because the goodness of God will overcome the brokenness and the darkness of the world. We have oftentimes through life, man, we get so weighed down. And I have talked with so many people, and they say, man, you just see it in their eyes. They were this, they were that. You just see it in their eyes. We've made that statement many a times ourselves, have we not? How many of us have been talking to someone and somebody asked, well, how was such and such? Well, they still wasn't feeling well. You could see it in their eyes. They're really hurting. You could see it in their eyes. The eye the eyes will tell you so much more than what a person's mouth will. Because a lot of times people are reserved about issues they may be having. On the other hand, there's people that we encounter and you would not rather ask them how they're doing. You just rather say, I hope you're doing great, move on about your day. But they deserve to let it all out too. They deserve the same accreditation that we give one another as anybody else does. Sometimes brokenness lays dark in the soul. Did you know that? David cries out in Psalms. He says, I'm in a weary place, a heavy place. But Lord, I know that you're going to rescue me. I know that you're going to bring me out of this pain. I know that you're going to pull me out of this hurt. And if he done it for David, surely to God in goodness and mercy, he's going to do it for you. So oftentimes we get so caught up in everything that's going on around us, we forget the nature of a God that loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. We oftentimes forget the stories as we look back. We talked a little bit about it Wednesday night in Mark chapter 8. Jesus heals the man that is blind and he says, tell me, what do you see now? He says, I see men walking like trees. And he does it again. And there's that second touch, that miraculous second touch that evangelists love so much. That second touch that he says, what do you see now? I see everything clearly. As Mason was talking about his glasses this morning, I had to turn around and go back to the house to get mine because I was driving like this. That's not okay. Neither should we as Christians be walking around like this. We should be able to open our eyes and see the goodness of God in our lives. Well, Tom, you don't understand. The trials come, the tribulation comes. Who's greater in our lives? What is it that we look at? Because here he tells us, lay up for yourselves not treasures up on earth, lay them up in heaven. And people go, well, he's talking about money. No, he's not only talking about finances. He's laying that foundation well because that's what they knew. If somebody was to sit down and talk to me, they would have to talk to me in a language that I understood, on a level that I understood, which would be a very low standard. Amen? But the thing is, the real reality of what happens is so often in life, we get so used to being down and out and broken and hurting that we walk around and we don't want to see the goodness of God. Well, Tom, how can you say that? Everybody wants to see the goodness of God. No, it's not that they don't want to see it. They've just got so used to being in that low place. They've got so used to being broken that that's all they know is brokenness. And they don't know the way out. I've got a pastor that I've known for many years. And Carrie knows this man as well as I do. And the first time we met him, you could see the Holy Spirit in his eyes. He actually coached you in basketball, didn't he? I mean, you just see the glory of God in his eyes. And I'm not talking about like Shekinah glory. Okay, follow me here, but I think y'all are following what I'm saying. Is you can just see Jesus in him. You didn't have to sit back and watch from a distance to watch his actions or watch his lifestyle. You could see it in his eyes. And I asked him one night, I said, brother, I want to know something. Where does that look come from? And he said, spend time with Jesus. You will get it too. We have seen so many times in life that we spend time with so much other things that our eyes are dark, they're broken. Catch me here, church. The darkness is dark. Have you ever noticed that? When it's dark, it's dark. There's no light, there's no nothing, it is dark. Has anybody, and I made this statement last week, has anybody ever walked into a dark room and said, who turned up the darkness? Anybody? No? What is the first thing that we say when we walk into a room is we're feeling on the wall? I don't care if you've lived in that house 30 years, you still struggle to find the light switch. And you're going, where's the light switch at? I need the light. I need the light. And we flip it on. The Holy Spirit should not be a light switch that we struggle to find. Oh, here we go. Y'all ready? And this is real serious talk. I'm talking to you as if I would be talking in front of an audience of two this morning, because nobody, not one time in their entire life, should have to struggle to find the switch for Holy Spirit. It's so simple to keep it on by getting in the Word of God. It's simple. It's simplistic. You want to know Jesus? Get in the Word of God. You want to have a word from God? Get in the Word of God. You want to have the Holy Spirit speak to you in your heart? Get in the Word of God. You want to feel the Lord move in your life? Get in the Word of God. You want to know what it is to be in the presence of God? Get in the presence of God. Y'all, I remember, and I think I've shared this story with y'all, of talking with a pastor friend one time, and he said they went to this big, massive conference, and they was going to go and pray with one of the speakers, and they undo the door, and they couldn't even stand in the room where he had been praying all day because the presence of God was so heavy in that place. Now, let me lay a foundation for you. Three of those pastors weren't charismatic pastors. They weren't Pentecostal pastors. They were Southern Baptists through and through. They didn't believe in the gifts. They didn't believe in the movement of the Holy Spirit, but they could not stand in that room. He said, Tom, as I got down on my hands and knees, I could feel the presence of God all over me. And he said, I laid there prostrate on that ground for an hour, almost 2 hours, weeping because I never experienced God. Been in ministry over 25 years and have never experienced God. I find it an honor and a privilege every day to stand, or every week, to stand behind the sacred desk. But God forbid that I did it without the presence of God. I say that we shouldn't have pastors that have never experienced God. I know many men who are great speakers. Been in ministry many, many years, who struggle just as I do with finding time to get in the presence of God. Just as you do, finding time to get in the presence of God. There is a struggle there. There's a dynamic there. But let me explain this to you, church. The moment that we forget what it's like to get in the presence of God is the moment that we've put our Bibles back on the shelf. The eye should be full of light. When we look at people, they should go, what in the world have you got going on in you? Man, I've never seen a twinkle like that. You see the movies, and there's always that woman, those love stories on Hallmark. Ladies, I know y'all watch those. But you get to look in, and there's always that one guy that comes along, and he's got that little sparkle in his eye. That should be us with Holy Spirit. That should be us seeking the presence of God. That should be us trying to find a moment in our day just to spend time with Jesus. Instead, this is where it gets good. Instead, you know what we do? We find time to make excuses on why we don't have time. Have you ever done that? Look, I made an excuse all week this week, not in all the yard. Follow me? It's easy to do. It's too hot. It's too this. It's too this. I can't. I got this. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. And it's just too much. I've got all these other things going on. I'm trying to juggle this, trying to juggle that. We can come up with dynamic ideas on why we will never sit in the presence of God. Sensationalism believes that the gifts and the presence of God will no longer be in effect, follow me here, until the coming of the Lord. This week I've listened to a teacher who is a phenomenal teacher. And he said I want you to understand that Acts chapter 2 was not about the day of Pentecost. It is the day of Pentecost. I shared this with Michael earlier. And he says, I want you to understand that it was not, but it is. And he said, because when you get all the way to the end of the book of Acts, there is no amen. It is still going and going and going and going. To say that we do not have time to find time for the presence of God is like saying that his word is null and void. David went back years later and repented. Lord, let the bones that you've crushed rejoice. Elijah stood on the mountaintop, had him dig a trench and fill it full of water and said, I want to show you the glory of my God. Lord, send fire. And he did. Well, Tom, you've got to understand that was then, this is now. What's changed? What changed? We turned off the light switch. We put limits on God. We've got a bunch of people that walk around We have a bunch of people that walk around and they have limited God by what they've seen people that don't even represent God claim they are.
Amen.
I've seen it. You've seen it. Tell you what, about 11 o'clock tonight, if you're still up, turn it on TBN. I'll say it. You want to feel good, go ahead and send us $29.95. I believe God is going to bless those 15,000 people. That's not light. That is not light. That is pure darkness. That are people that are looking after all the wrong ideas of who God's called them to be. He didn't call us to simply put us on the back burner and say, you know what? It's okay if you don't have the light in your eye. Because he says here, but if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore for the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? That's a lot of darkness. Could you imagine? And I know some of y'all have probably been in this situation before, being hunters. My granddaddy was a coon hunter. He loved it. He would get those dogs. He would charge those battery packs all day. And he had a belt really that he put on and held that battery pack on it. And it looked like almost like a car battery. And he would tighten that belt up. And he would go out in the woods. But one day, well, I'll take that back. Grandmama always charged his batteries. And one day, she had forgot that Granddaddy said he was going coon hunting that evening. And it just happened to be the evening. He took me with him the first and last time. And we get out there, and he's got the dog. And you can hear the dogs treeing, and they're barking, and they're howling. And his battery goes dead. In the dark. Middle of the woods. At Tool Plate Levee Bottom. And I'm thinking, sure is dark. And this man, my granddaddy was a tall fella, reached in his pocket and pulled out the brightest, little tiniest flashlight that I had ever seen in my life. And as he walked, he was singing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And then something, as I thought about that this week, I was reminded of that. And I thought, man alive, what if that little light in our eyes shined as bright as that little mag light did in the woods that night? Just enough so we can see the path, not looking left nor right, not backwards. Remember what the word says, don't look neither left nor right, but forward, straight ahead. Looking forward, straight ahead, walking toward the goal, walking to meet the mark that God has set out before us. And we just sing all the time, that little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Could you imagine what a glorious day it's going to be when we stand before the Father and we have to give an account for our life lived. And he says, you know what? I'm so excited that you're here. But I've got some things I need to talk to you about. Some things that we need to discuss. You had every capability everywhere you went. to share the gospel with someone and you missed the mark. You had days that you would see and you would walk by your Bible and you would just give it a little pat. I'll get to that later. There was days where you would go and you would sit down and say, I'm going to pray, and you would fall asleep. I want you to understand what I'm about to say is the truth that I think we all face. I think we all miss it sometimes. We go to bed at night and our pillow has become our God. Our pillow has become our God. Well, I'm going to pray when I lay down tonight. I'm going to spend some time with Jesus tonight. Next thing you know, Lord, I need you. It's the reality of it. It's the truth. We as a people have to do better. We as a people have to do better. I'm going to say something else. I love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't say what I'm going to say. We as a church, catch me here. We as a church have to do better. Amen? We as a church have to do better. Because let me tell you, nobody... Oh, Lord. Holy Spirit. Nobody would want to come into a building that's full of darkness.
Amen.
Nobody would, right? Man, look, let me tell you this. There's a moment in time. There's a moment, and the moment is now. Okay, let me clarify that really quickly. The moment is now. I'm passionate about this, y'all, because I love you. But I love you because He first loved me. Amen?
Amen.
This week I spent time with Jesus. This week I literally just dove in and look, it was uncomfortable. It hurt. There were some things that He was pointing out, and He's like, nope, you got it. Nope, 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 nope. And have you ever had Jesus use somebody, the Holy Spirit use somebody to show you things in your life you needed to get rid of? It makes you angry. You get offended. Jesus says, I hope you get offended because of this gospel. I hope that it causes you to change. I hope that a change happens in you. So when you go out in the world, people see the change in you. Not just because of who you are, but because of who He is. Oh my goodness, could you imagine? When people look in our eyes and go, holy smokes, what happened to you at Proteins this week?
Yeah.
I can tell you this. Blanket statement. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what size shoe you wear. What size socks you wear. We're all one. We are a body. And He should be the head. Amen?
Amen.
And when they see us moving, they see unity. And they look and go, what in the world's going on in their eyes? There's something different out there. There's something different going on out there between them cornfields. I got tickled as the film crew called me the day on the way out here. They was getting ready to come out and film some of the interview. He says, dude, you didn't tell me this thing was in the middle of nowhere. I said, you're the one that said that you wanted to go somewhere nobody would know how to get to unless they knew where it was at. There you go. But here's the reality of it. We should be able to follow Christ by the look in the eyes. You know, this week has been a challenging week for so many people, including me. So many barriers, so many things that have happened this week, some challenges. And through it all, I wrote this down this week. Are you ready for this? This is me. This is my flaw. And I'm an open book. Y'all know that. And I'm going to share this with you this morning. Not for pity, but because this is what the Lord told me to write down to expose myself. Has God ever used something to expose your own life? Amen? And this is what I wrote down. I said, these eyes tell a story of pain, hurt, trauma, joy, excitement, brokenness, healing, trauma, brokenness. Notice there's more than one trauma and brokenness in there. But I said, I refuse to have an eye full of darkness, as these eyes should be a signal of Jesus in me. I remember one day, and I'm going to close with this. Won't you stand with me this morning as I get ready? I remember one day as I was getting ready to pray at an invitation, and this young lady come up. She was trembling. I mean, she was shaking like a leaf. And she wouldn't look at me. She kept doing this. And I looked out the windows of her soul, and I said, no, 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 look at me. She said, I can't. I said, why? What is wrong with you? Why will you not look me in the eye? She said, because there's something in your eye that is different. I've never seen it before. That young lady accepted Jesus. Hey, it's Pastor Tom. I hope and pray this message touched your heart. And maybe even today you're asking yourself, do I know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? You know, oftentimes in life we find ourselves in the mix of life. And life is hard. It's difficult. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and today you say, you know what? I want to do that. I want to accept Jesus. I want to know Him on a more intimate level. If that's you, my friend, today I want to pray with you. Simply just pray this. Father God, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to send Jesus to come and dwell in my heart and to be the Lord of my life. I know that I'm in need of a Savior, and without Him, I would be nothing. Amen. My friend, today, if you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. You can email me at PastorTomCrandall@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. I want to send you a Bible. I want to send you some information on how to continue to walk with Christ. I love you, my friend. All the angels in heaven are rejoicing with you. God bless you.